Thank you for joining us today on Drawing Near. This podcast is designed to help in drawing near to God through reading God's Word and then applying its truths to our lives. If I can be of assistance to you, feel free to reach out to me through my email address in the description section of this podcast. How does God want believers to treat one another? What responsibilities do I have toward other Christians? The answers to these questions may be difficult to fully comprehend. Today on Drawing Near, we are once again encouraged, but in these verses, we are encouraged to engage other Christians in specific ways. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and study Conduct in the Believing Community. And as we prepare for today's study, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you, Father, for making us a Christian community, a believing community. Your word calls it the body of Christ, with Jesus as our head, and he is to guide and lead out in the way we conduct ourselves, not just in our personal lives, at home or at work or at school, but he is to guide us as our head in the way we conduct ourselves at church and in the world, everywhere we go. And Father, we thank you for these instructions that give us guidance on how we are to treat one another, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Guide us as we study. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hopefully you have your Bibles open. Look at the first phrase of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren." Paul is getting ready to conclude his letter. We've gone through four chapters of this letter and most of chapter 5. And he says, "Now, we exhort you, brethren." It's the language of concluding this letter. And he says, "We exhort, we encourage, we want to build you up, we want to challenge you to do something." And with that, we need to understand that what's getting ready to be challenged is not necessarily easy for us to do. If we have to be encouraged to do something and challenged to do something, it doesn't come all that naturally to us. We are Christians. We are saints. But we are saints who are trapped in a body that still has fleshly desires. We still have to deal with sinful thoughts and sinful impulses, and sometimes sins that we actually act out. So Paul is saying, "We encourage you, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, you who have trusted in Jesus, warn those who are unruly." Now, if you've been following along, you know that in our last study, we learned how we are to treat those who labor among us, who are over us in the Lord and admonish us. We are to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then he said, "Be at peace among yourselves." Accepting the order that God has placed in the church helps us to have peace. And sometimes within the body of Christ, there are those who are unruly. There are those who are disagreeable. There are those who sow dissension, and God hates that. We need to acknowledge that there are those who sometimes want to exert their own authority over biblical authorities within the church. And they gossip, and they spread lies or rumors, or they just disturb the body of Christ. They're unruly. They do not follow the rule of Christ. And we're told that as Christians, not just as Christian leaders, as Christians, warn those who are unruly. Warn them. This is not right. This is not God's will. This is not God's desire. Don't join in with them. Don't participate. Don't think that you are being kind by listening to them and giving strength to their behavior by your listening to them and being silent. Warn those who are unruly. He goes on and says, "Comfort the faint-hearted." There are those within the body of Christ who are fearful, who worry all the time, who always see the negative. And we're not to warn them and beat them up over this. We're to comfort them. We're to come alongside of them and encourage them. The Holy Spirit is Christ's comforter in our hearts and lives. And as children of God, we are to comfort one another. We are to comfort the faint-hearted. We are also, in the next phrase, to uphold the weak. The weak have difficulty standing, and we're to help them stand. It's almost the picture of Moses before a battle when his arms were to be raised and they got heavy and men came alongside of him and held his arms up for him. We're to uphold the weak. Too often we distance ourselves from those who are faint-hearted or unruly or who are weak. But rather, we are to engage them. We are to warn or comfort the faint-hearted. We're to come alongside and lift up the weak, strengthen the weak, add our strength to their weakness so that they can endure. In each of these situations, we are being challenged to join together with the body of Christ, to behave in a certain way toward one another. We're not to go to church on Sunday morning and go home on Sunday afternoon and not think or care or engage the body of Christ the rest of the week. We're to be in communion with one another and in fellowship with one another. We are the body of Christ. We are the community of believers. And we're to be together. And we're to assist one another. It is a blessing to be warned when we're not doing things that are right, so that we don't incur the discipline of God. We all get fearful. We all become weak. And it's a blessing to have people who just come alongside of us. Too often we hear people say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, when it comes to warning, just quote Scripture. Just tell them what the Bible says. Just let them know that this isn't right and you need to be careful because God doesn't like this. When it's dealing with the faint-hearted or the weak, sometimes just being there and loving them and talking with them and listening to them while they share is a strength. And again, share Scripture with them. Talk to them about Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. Help them to understand that God is our strong and mighty tower. He will never leave us or forsake us. Talk to them about prayer. Sing with them. Worship with them. Lift them up. Build them up. And then we're told at the end of verse 14, be patient with all. We ought to underline that. We ought to highlight it, put it in bold in our mind. That ought to be written on our glasses as we walk out of the house. Be patient with all. The word patient means long-suffering. We're to suffer with one another. We're to put up with one another. We're to long-suffer with one another. We're to be patient with all. We're to be patient with the unruly, patient with the faint-hearted, patient with the weak. We're to be patient with all. This is taxing to us. This is hard. But we're to do it. And sometimes we want to throw up our hands and we just want to say, "I'm done. I don't know what to do. I can't fix anybody. I can't help anybody." Being patient with all means remain in relationship with all. Allow them to continue to discourage you or annoy you or challenge you as you seek to live out the fruit of the Spirit. But we need to be patient with all. Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Sometimes we want to render evil to people in our lives. Sometimes we want to lash out, or we want to give a harsh rebuke, or even in trying to comfort and uphold, we're callous. We just want this to stop. Paul writes, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. This isn't just in the body of Christ, by the way. We're to be patient with all, and we're not to render evil for evil to anyone. We're to respond to the evil that comes upon us from other people with faith and patience and long-suffering, with love. We're to continue in joy and peace. Jesus, when he endured the cross, when he was being accused and all those things that led up to his death on the cross, did not render evil for evil. He did not lash out or strike out. We're to be like Jesus. And instead of rendering evil for evil to anyone, it tells us at the end of verse 15, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now, this is kind of a unique phrase. First of all, we're to always pursue what is good. Not just good circumstances. We're to pursue the good spiritually. We're to pursue what God wants to give to us, what God wants to bless us with, what God wants to endow us with. We're to pursue that. It's not telling us to pursue ribeye steaks, nice cars, fine homes, great furniture. That's not what he's talking about. What is good is what is spiritually good. Always pursue what is good, both for yourselves. Pursue what is good for you. And by the way, what is good for us is to do the things that we have been told to do in these verses and in the rest of Scripture. be obedient to God by faith, pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. We're to pursue the spiritual good for everyone. And that's what he's just been talking about. The reason we warn the unruly is because we want God's best for them. The same with the faint-hearted and the weak. The reason why we don't render evil for evil to anyone is because we have the love of Christ in our heart and we want what's good for everyone. What's spiritually good? Ultimately, that is eternal life, forgiveness of sin, coming into the body of Christ, being a part of the community of believers, and enjoying the blessings of God. That's what we want for everyone. These are important verses. This is wonderful encouragement. We don't do this naturally. Sometimes I think we shy away from this on purpose. And I pray that God would help us to see the need of this in our daily lives, in our bodies of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this encouragement, these reminders. And I pray, Father, that you'll not only let us hear these words, but give us the tools, give us the understanding, the wisdom to engage our brothers and sisters in Christ in this way. And Father, thank you for those times when we can just enjoy sweet fellowship, where there's no one to warn and no one to comfort and no one to strengthen, that we can just have a mutual edification. Thank you for that. And help us to remember we are to always encourage one another to love and good works. Thank you, Father, for that encouragement in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for studying with us today. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Drawing Near is a ministry of FBC Tip City based on the truth that if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us.